I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I think he's going through, you know, the process. Obviously when you're, you know, whatever the protocol is, I'm sure he's, sore today. I think it's, this is no layup, and I mean that's why it's a day-to-day situation.
Day by day. Day by day.
Clemens.
Put your hand on the radio, brothers and sisters, Packer Nation.
Yeah!
Hallelujah!
Yeah! Praise be. I grew up in the South, man. My first job, not to hop off too far, my very first job as a teenager was to work as a board operator for a radio station on Sundays that played
religious preachers
live.
You remember Dan Rather, the great anchor, right?
Yeah.
He wrote in his book that his first job in radio was to work Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
Where they would play the different discs that came. They came in on platters and on records.
Right.
Like 1 hour gospel shows. And so he had a deal arranged with the owner of the station that halfway through this like 8 hour shift, that if he put on one of these half hour shows, he could get in the car, the station car, run down to the drive through, get a burger, maybe flirt with the girl who was working there, and get back with some lunch, so he could work the second half of the shift. So he got down there, and he was hanging out with the girl talking to her, right? And the phone rang at the hamburger's place, and they said, are you at the hamburger place? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm on my way back with my lunch. He goes, have you heard our station? No, sir. Yeah, well, turn on the station, go back and fix it, and you're fired. So he turned on the car radio, and that record had gotten stuck, and the preacher was saying, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell, go to hell. It was skipping record.
Jeez. Absolutely classic. I saw someone have a heart attack live in the studio.
Oh, really?
Like, it wasn't a massive one. He survived, but he, in the middle of it, he couldn't get air in. They yell and scream, and this is Southern Baptist preachers. And his face turned red, and he ran down the hall clutching right under his heart. I didn't see him for like 2 months.
Well, McCarthy doesn't get Aaron Rodgers out there. He may have to have some CPR. But you heard his press conference here on the Bill Michaels Show a little bit earlier today. But if you missed it, here's today's McCarthy's take on Coach. What do you know about Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, Aaron's getting better. He was in the meetings this morning. I would say feels better than he did at the beginning of the week. But tomorrow's practice will be a pretty big indicator. So we'll see how today goes. And but like I said, nothing's changed. He's clearly in the day-to-day. Hopefully he'll be able to do work tomorrow, but I can't answer that question.
Did you sense a little? Did he throw you anything there?
Kevin, Joe, why don't they just say, look, he's day-to-day, and we're going to run him on Saturday. He's in a lot of pain. We don't know how much the pain will subside. He's got some considerations to make in terms of he and his knee and how bad he wants, what danger he's put it in. It's a knee sprain. The player's already said that. And we're going to make a game time decision. Next question. Why don't they do that? I don't understand all the he's making this so complicated. It's making me think they're thinking things like, we're going to do everything we can for the Vikings. And then we're going to shut them down and we're going to fix this thing. And we'll bring him back in 4 or 5 weeks. And we'll get in all these snaps for DeShone Kizer this week with the first team.
Right.
And next week. So that gives him 2 full weeks. I mean, maybe that's plan A instead of plan B, you know? You know, it gets really complicated. In the meantime, Aaron Rodgers is going to have to go out there and make that decision himself. And I asked him this. You know, under Ted Thompson, it was Mr. Thompson made the decision of a player is going to go on the field. The doctor talks to the GM. The GM makes the final decision if a guy is going to be up for the roster and for the coach. And then the coach makes that decision if he's going to be active or not. I'm wondering if under this sort of new regime, and because it's Aaron Rodgers, can he go to, does Pat McKenzie, the longtime team physician, have the final say? Or can Aaron say, all right, what you're telling me is this. If I play, I'm at risk of this and this, and I'll take my chances, right? And I asked Aaron, is this kind of a decision for Sunday's game against the Vikings?
Well, I don't think it's either of those. I think it's, you know, him and I have great friendship and a lot of trust in one another. Obviously, he's performed surgery on me more than once, so there's a lot of trust that goes into that. He's a fantastic doctor. He's a great communicator. You know, we talk about a lot of things. You know, we had a great conversation at halftime Sunday night and came to the conclusion that I could go back out there if I could deal with the pain. You know, I first, you know, banged it up when I was 16 and had surgery at 16, at 20, and then at the end of the 15 season. So, you know, I've dealt with the knee injuries in the past, and they're obviously frustrating, but stuff that I've played with.
Three surgeries?
He first screwed up that knee when he was playing basketball. Now, see, the people at Pleasant Valley High School in Chico, when I went out there after Super Bowl 50, they said, I think it was his freshman year. I mean, he's taking just a simple jump shot. He came back down, grabbed his knee, swelling, and that, you know, he had an ACL, and he played through high school, and he went to Butte College. And we had Craig on there, you know, his coach and athletic director now. And when he got up to Cal for Tedford called him back because he thanked him for giving him Aaron Rodgers.
Right.
And he said, you know, this kid's got an ACL. Really? I mean, he'd been playing through it for all that time. And so it wasn't until he was 20 that he finally got the ACL fixed. He'd been playing on it all those years. So you talk about playing through pain. So in the meantime, he goes back out there with this knee sprain, tremendous pain. And he was asked, did you become a pocket passer in that fourth quarter against the Bears Sunday night?
Well, I don't know. I mean, a lot of those throws are moving hard one way or the other. You know, I'm not sure what kind of mobility, if I can play Sunday, I'll be able to have. But, you know, it's about muscle memory. I've been in situations where I haven't been able to move a ton outside the pocket and still had mobility within the pocket. I mean, there's two kinds of mobility. In the pocket, being subtle movements that allow you to have a clean launch point, and then there's movement that gets you outside the pocket that allows you to extend plays and take shots down the field or run, and, you know, we'll see what kind of mobility I'm allowed to have.
Besides you putting the ball on target, the catch that GMO makes, the yards after the catch by Devontae putting his head down, the moves that Randall makes, that's pretty special for fourth quarter game one of a season.
Yeah, I mean, those are great plays. The line gave me a lot of time on the throw to GMO. He didn't give up on the play and made a great catch in the back of the end zone. And Devontae had a couple big time plays. And then Randall, obviously, you know, guys continuing their routes on that play. Geronimo continued to, you know, take his route on the same line, allow that play to happen. And then obviously Ty getting out front and kind of getting in the way of a couple people. You know, just fantastic effort plays by those guys that helped us win the game.
And he's saying the right things. If I play Sunday, if this, if that, he knows he's got to wait for that sort of thing. Mike, stick around. We will reopen the hymnals and continue to get the spirit from Mike Clemens' other side of the break on the Bill Michaels Show.
This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They have care my way, and if something's ailing you, you can call right over the phone, 844-CARE-WAY. That's 844-CARE-WAY. And maybe, just maybe, they can send a prescription to a pharmacy near you. And the best part about it is, if they can't help you, you don't pay. It's pay for play. That's the way they go. That's Marshfield Clinic. Go to marshfieldclinic.org for all the information. The official health care provider of yours truly.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Second down and two.
United did it!
One-on-one coverage.
Rodgers dancing, throwing for the end zone, and it is hauled in. Touchdown, Geronimo Allison. He beats Kyle Fuller, 39 yards, touchdown.
You know, I kind of laugh when people, you see some other teams, they say, we want to keep Aaron in the pocket. And he stayed in the pocket. So yeah. Just kind of pick your poison. Yeah, no. He's obviously talented. They obviously paid him all that money because of how talented he is. So, you know, wherever, if he's outside the pocket, inside the pocket, he's going to make plays.
Lane Taylor talking about pass protection, keeping Aaron Rodgers healthy and upright and in that pocket. And, you know, sometimes Rodgers is going to do what he wants to do, but those guys will be holding on to their blocks a little bit longer, we suspect, with the Rodgers knee issue, if indeed Rodgers takes the field this week. Mike Clemens has been joining us here in these last couple segments, sharing some of his insights from being in that Packers locker room, from stalking players all around the town. I mean, I know it's a full-time gig, Mike.
Yeah, whatever. It's not bad. It's not bad work if you can find it.
That right.
When your quarterback goes down and gets off on a has to take a cart ride, I think a lot of people's frustration last year was why couldn't Dom Capers guys, stand up, and start creating turnovers and helping out DeShone Kizer? Why didn't the turnovers come? And so you're three quarters into the season. And people are asking perhaps the same questions of Mike Pettine, and people are tweeting, bring back Dom Capers,
oh boy,
all that stuff. But I'll tell you, I really like Clay Matthews as a player. When you talk to players in the locker room, they talk about this guy sits in the front row, man. He works harder than anybody else. He knows what's going on. He watches the film. He tries to play smart, but he plays aggressive. There's been times in his career a couple of years ago where he was diving over the line to stop running backs in a game that Bill and I covered down in Cincinnati against the Bengals, and he ends up breaking his hands. Okay, great. So you stopped a guy on a key fourth down, but, you had to wear clubs for the next couple of weeks. Yeah. It's like, you got to watch it. You always see him doing that karaoke dance, trying to keep the hamstrings warm up because he's had chronic problems with the hamstrings, and he's just not the guy that Kevin Green said, now, we need it now. And he could just turn on some switch and bam, be back on the quarterback like that and find a path. He's very instinctive. And here's a guy he's making $13 million this year.
Whew.
The Green Bay Packers are paying this dude $10 million in base and the rest in incentives and $13 million, 32 years old. And other guys are saying it's over. There's nothing to figure this out. This will be his final year. Hopefully he'll get a shot at it. And then he'll see if he can get some 1 or 2 year deal out of the Chargers or maybe the Rams. They seem to like to sign veteran guys. So he can go back to LA, USC territory, and, ride out, on a cloud of glory like that.
Kind of like Peppers at the end.
Do more commercials and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's got all that going for him. But he was asked by Chris Roth, let's be serious about this now. This was yesterday afternoon. The game's on the line, man. You got a fourth down there, and you've got to stop. The ball's on the ground. And they pull the flag for roughing the passer, and you knock over Mitch Trubisky. What happened? And here's Clay. This is the mood that Clay's in these days right now.
What happened at the end of the game? I know you just talked about it after the game.
Why do you want to look back? It's already Thursday. I don't want to look back.
Mike talked about accountability.
I fell.
And you fell forward hard.
Yeah.
After launching, fell forward.
I said after the game, I regretted it. I think I was coming with such steam off the other side. And when he threw it, as soon as I kind of leapt, you see me pull off, but it was a little too late. But we don't have to worry about it anymore. Honestly, I'm really fortunate that we were able to finish that game off because all they needed was a couple yards to get a field goal, and I'm sure everyone would be asking for my resignation. So, it's part of the deal. Who cares?
Well, listen,
next game.
Well, but resignation is.
Wait, tell who?
What did you tell Nick on the field goal after the game?
I just say good play. I said, I appreciate you bailing me out, really. I mean, that's honestly what I said, if you want to ask him. But, like I said, it's, what happens. Unfortunately, it happened at a pivotal time. Pivotal.
There you go.
Too many hits today, Thursday's practice. Pivotal time in the game. That stuff happens. We'll be smarter next time.
pivotal. It's football, man. Relax. And you know what? You probably need some of that.
Yeah.
To keep a little fun and that kind of thing. But that's where Clay Matthews is at right now. So you folks decide. Maybe he can pick up his game. I got a couple of quick feature stories, and then maybe I'll give you a quick crunch on what I think is going to happen Sunday against the Vikings. All right. Really? There's this Deontay Burton that they brought in. He played at Kansas State, and he got picked up by the Falcons. He was a wide receiver, pretty good, well, like 4.5 speed. They made him a corner down in Atlanta, and they actually elevated him to the roster. Then they had to make some other moves when some guys went down to linebacker, and he was free. He was there on waivers, and the Packers snagged him like this, yeah. Right? So you'll see, maybe you'll see him on special teams this weekend, but it's another defensive back they've added because he's got some skill, and it's Brian Gutekunst still working that personnel board, man, every day now through the month of September. If there's somebody, even if you've been in this team for a year and a half or in camp all year, he'll try and find your replacement out there on the personnel board. And it turns out that this guy, because he's from Kansas State, he knows Jordy Nelson.
Jordy grew up 10 minutes away from me. I'm from Manhattan. I believe he's from Leonardville. So he's, you know, not too far. I've met him a few times, played in a softball tournament over there. I met him, and he's just a really good guy. Kind of have been somewhere he's been, and everybody here knows him. And I think he's set a great precedence for people from our area, and just kind of the way he acts and his behavior, and, you know, something I'd like to emulate with a respect.
It's the kind of thing where you walk up to Jordy Nelson and introduce yourself, tell him your aspirations, and he's there to help you out.
I definitely think anyone could do that. He's a real personable guy. You wouldn't see him as, you know, this top NFL receiver if you just, you know, saw him walking down the street. You know, I think if anyone could just sit and really have a conversation with him, and he'll give you the best of help. I've talked to him before games, you know, when I was in Atlanta, and he's a really, really good guy.
Okay.
So, Deontay Burton, look for him on Sunday.
That's interesting.
Trevor Davis, placed on IR. He shows up to the warm-up practice last Saturday at Lambeau Field. And says, oh, man, the hamstring's bothering me again. The one that bothered him all through training camp, that pretty much put him on the sidelines throughout training camp. So they put him on injury reserve. They shut him down. He's done. So I think number 83, this, you know, wide receiver that they've had. I mean, Ty Montgomery will probably do the open kicks. But a guy who's got a chance at becoming the next kick returner is Marquez Valdez-Scantling out of South Florida. And I talked to him about his potential opportunity to be the new kick returner for the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I'm always ready. You know, you got to be ready at all times in this league. You know, no matter what happens, you got to be prepared to step in.
And you had some good returns there during camp. I mean, you look comfortable back there.
Yeah, I did it in college. I did it in high school, you know, so I'm natural. You know, I catch the ball and playmaker, you know, with the ball in my hands. So whatever they need me to do, I'll do it.
Marquez, everybody says 83 is the fastest guy in the team. Is that true?
I mean, you know, let the time speak for themselves. But, you know, I think I'm up there. I run pretty fast.
4.37. I hope I'm not stealing your thunder in the 40-yard dash at the combine. Yeah.
Exactly. The key to this game on Sunday is going to be the interior line. As we watch the Packers play the Bears and Khalil Mack line up over Brian Bulaga, and we saw the Bulaga's struggles to keep Mac in front of him and the incredible plays that Mac made. When I asked Mike McCarthy, why aren't you taking tight ends and moving them to help out Bulaga? And he said, well, because we had bigger problems on the interior line. So you go back and you watch the tape and it's like, oh, yeah, he really did. He really did. Did you know that Mercedes Lewis only had 7 snaps in the game?
Joe mentioned that.
Why do you bring in a guy that weighs 267 that you can line up outside Bulaga and double team a guy like Mac? Why wouldn't you be doing that to help out?
With a quarterback, it's immobile.
Well, you look at the tape, though, and Justin McCray, who, you know, busted his butt last year, and that's why they gave him the right starting guard position. They drafted a kid named Cole Madison. He's been a no-show because of personal problems. So, you know, Lucas Patrick, he's a backup. He's not a starter. But this guy got pushed back, man. I mean, the Bears' defensive line is pretty tough. And now you're going to face a even bigger line with the Minnesota Vikings, including Sheldon Richardson, who they picked up from the Seahawks previously with the Jets, Linville Joseph, Daniel Hunter is back with that, and, of course, Everson Griffin. Bakhtiari will take care of that guy, will take care of Griffin. But the key to this game is how Lindsley and how Lane Taylor, who's going to be on with Bill Monday night at 6 o'clock, and how Justin McCray handled that interior line. Mike Zimmer likes to put those guys right over the shoulder pads of the center, left and right, you know, call a mug-up double-A gap, and that's what they're going to have to deal with. So I think that'll be a key to the game. Now, one guy on your defense, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, I think that these guys can go toe-to-toe with them on their offense with Kirk Cousins. I think the secondary is good. They're very excited about Jair Alexander and Josh Jackson.
Uh-huh.
They kept Devon House on the sidelines. He didn't have any snaps in the game. He was just special teams. They believe in those two young men, their speed, and their ability to pick up what's going on. You got Tremont Williams out there, and you got Kentrell Bryce, There's a spot there in the third quarter when you go down the play-by-play breakdown of the game book, and it's tackle Bryce, tackle Bryce, tackle Bryce, tackle. It's like four plays in a row. They're very high on Kentrell Bryce, how he's sifting this stuff out. And I thought, this is another home game against the Vikings. You got to get the crowd into it. I know that sounds corny, but I've become more of a believer in that. And I was talking to some of the guys on the sideline. I said, oh, you know what? That's one of the best performances we've had by the hometown crowd when we really needed it to just totally confuse Mitch Trubisky in that offense. So I went to Kentrell Bryce, this, you know, number 29, this great safety that they've had that's outplaying Ha-Ha Clinton Dix right now. And I said, how good was the crowd? And he said he had a hard time talking to his linebacker with the radio album, Blake Martinez.
Blake was right in front of me. I put my ear to his mouth, and I could not hear anything he was saying. I couldn't hear anything.
That's a pretty good measure.
Yeah, it was loud. I couldn't hear anything he was saying. So we heard the words, and then if one person heard it, we just get close enough to each other to hear it, and then we dispersed and play the coverage.
I used to think that got played up too much, but in recent years, I've realized that can mess up an offense.
Oh, yeah, it definitely can, because the quarterback can't give the correct – well, if he gives the call in the huddle and everyone doesn't hear it, someone's going to be unsure what they're going to run, and then they might give him a second guess, or they might be a step slower, things like that, or the timing might be out with the route. He may be the first read, and he throw the pass. Might be interception, things like that. So the crowd knows is a great factor. You know, we like it each and every. We look forward to it, actually, on Sunday at 12.
Bring it.
We need everybody to drink their drinks beforehand, about 10 o'clock.
Right.
Be drunk when you get here at 12.
There you go.
There you go.
Look, honestly, one of the things that makes Packers-Bears on a Sunday night the way it is that people have been drinking since 10 a.m. They're screaming.
So, kids out there, Packers safety Kentrell Bryce says, start your drinking at 10.
Or 6.
So by 12, by noon, you are ready to go, baby.
We need everybody to drink their drinks beforehand, about 10 o'clock. Oh. Be drunk when you get here at 12.
There you go.
You got to start at like 6.
That's a game plan for the fans for the 70,000 at Lambeau Field on Sunday.
Need a game plan for everybody. Mike Clemens, always informative. Really appreciate it. Excited to see if this thing happens Sunday.
Thank you, Kevin. Thank you, Joe.
Mike Clemens, and as you mentioned, Lane Taylor will be on the Lodge Kohler kickoff. That'll be on Monday. We are back to wrap things up here on the Bill Michaels Show in a moment.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.